Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for sticking around. I'm part of a team at the University of Florida's North Florida Research and Education Center that is working on this topic, and it's a team of plant pathologists, entomologists, and horticulturists collaborating, and we in turn are also collaborating with multi-state teams, the Texas-led group of the SCRI grant led by Dave Byrne, and then Dr. Pirate also has a CPPM grant that is also a multi-state. So this really is focusing in on what we've been doing at Quincy in this particular case. So rose rosette disease, as we've heard earlier today and some of the other presentations, is a major issue in the rose production and landscape use. The rose wholesale and retail industry is in the vicinity of $200 to $400 million a year. Florida is the top wholesale rose grower, so it is a particular concern to us in Florida. It is caused by rose rosette virus, which is a type of Amara virus, and this has really just been definitively determined just a few years ago. It is vectored by an aerophyid mite, Phyllocoptes fructophyllus. Both the virus and the vector are native to North America, specifically the western North America and parts of Canada. As we've seen in Mike Schnelli's talk, it's characterized by various symptoms, including the proliferation of thorns, as you see in the photo on the upper right. And it can result in death after 1 to 3 years in the northern part of the country, and I've learned today up to 5 to 8 years in the southern part of the country. All current roses are susceptible, and there is no current treatment. So we are always looking for options to try to reduce the severity of the disease. Acebenzolar S-methyl, which I'll abbreviate as ASM, is a systemic acquired resistance inducer that encourages the plant defense system, and it has been shown to help to protect plants from some viruses, specifically tobacco and tomato with tomato spotted wilt virus and tobacco with iris yellow spot. And we did some preliminary work that suggested that it also might work for rose rosette disease, and that's what I'll be reporting on here today. So our objectives were first to see the effects of the ASM on flowering and growth of roses, because it is not currently labeled for roses, so we did not know what the effects would be on the plant, to evaluate the ability of ASM to protect roses from rose rosette disease, and we also did a side project looking at removal of infected branches combined with application of ASM on RRD. So those are the objectives. Going to the first part there on rose growth and flowering, we did a study at a wholesale commercial container nursery in Zone 8B, two trials in summer fall of 2016 lasting about 12 weeks, and roses were in number one containers and were the cultivars that are in the trade known as pink double knockout and pink drift. We had weekly spray treatments of water only and then three rates of ASM. There were 10 plants in each cultivar per treatment, and we weekly collected height, two widths, a phytotoxicity rating, and a number of flowers. And these are some charts. You'll see these a little bit later as well, and they're a little small here, but that's because there weren't any significant differences in this particular case. But the charts, the x-axis is the week of ASM application, a week of treatment, and the y-axis is a measurement. In the first two charts on the top, it's for height, and then width one, and then width two. The columns on the left, of course, are for the pink double knockout, and on the right for pink drift. And again, as you'll see this a little bit later, the lines correspond to the different treatments of ASM, the gray being the water control, blue, yellow, and red increasing in the ASM rate. And as I mentioned earlier, there were no significant differences here with height or the two widths when we looked at the two cultivars here and treatment. We also looked at a plant size or a plant volume characteristic, the height times the two widths to get a volume measurement, comparing the growth from week 12 compared to week 0. And again, over the two rose cultivars and the four treatments, there were no significant differences at the 0.05 level. Finally, we have here the flowering and phytotoxicity. The flowering are the two charts on the top. And again, similar to the previous two slides, with the colors representing the treatments of ASM, with the bright red being the highest treatment of ASM, flowering was not significantly affected by the ASM treatment. Phytotoxicity, however, we did find on some certain dates that the highest level of ASM did have a significant phytotoxic effect compared to the other treatments. And that's designated by the stars above the specific points on the dates. So that showed us that really that was actually having no results as good results in this situation, where we did not have any major significant effects from the ASM, proved that we could use it safely on rose production up until the rates that we were looking at in this preliminary study. The next part of the study had to deal with infected rose plants that had RRD, and Florida does not have the rose rosette virus or the vector that transmits rose rosette virus, so we had to artificially infect our own plants, and we only were able to obtain infected plants because there were some situations where plants were shipped into the state already infected with the virus, causing quite a bit of stir with the Division of Plant Industry folks. So we were able to get infected plants and isolate them in a greenhouse at a research center while the infestations on the nurseries were otherwise exterminated. And so that's assuring that Florida still does not have the presence of RRD in the state. And in order to increase the number of infected plants, we had to manually bud uninfected plants with buds from an infected plant in order to get the disease into new plants. And generally, it took 4 to 6 weeks from the time that we budded a plant into the time that we actually saw disease expression on the other parts of the plant. So it was effective, if a bit awkward for us to do. It also, this technique also limited the numbers of infected plants we could work with at any time. That was a bit of a limitation. So the second objective was to look at ASM and its effect on RRD suppression, and there were three trials. The first two trials involved a drench at two rates and a foliar spray at two rates as compared to a water sprayed control. Trial three, we dropped the drench and just focused on the foliar sprays. And the general progression of us to apply these treatments was, as you see on the right, we started with two weekly applications of ASM or water, and in theory, the ASM would stimulate the plant defenses. We then infected the plant with an infected bud from an infected plant. And then we had 11 additional weekly applications of either water or the two ASM rates. And then we evaluated disease severity. We then lightly pruned the plants to stimulate growth. And between 5 to 7 weeks later, we again evaluated disease severity. We found that in terms of enhancing the effects of ASM, or the effects of the virus to express themselves, that new growth was where they typically expressed themselves more. And so that's why we did the light pruning and waited an additional 5 to 7 weeks. So here on the left, you'll see two charts. This is for trial one. The y-axis is the area under the disease progression curve, indicating the severity of rose rosette disease. So the higher the bar, the more severe the rose rosette disease occurred. You see the top chart shows the disease severity at the end of the 11 weeks of treatment. And as you can see, the untreated plants or the plants treated with water had a very high rating of rose rosette disease, as did the two drenches, whereas the two foliar applications did not show any disease at all. The chart below shows about 6 weeks after the rating above, and you can see even at that time the pattern was basically the same, where the foliar-applied ASM did not express any disease symptoms at all. This was very positive. We were very excited. However, keep in mind our numbers were only N equals 3 because we were limited in the number of infected plants we could work with. And this is actually what the plants looked like, to give you some sense. And this follows the same pattern as what we saw in the chart these two are the non-treated at the end of the applications and then 6 weeks after the applications, and you can freely see the typical symptoms of rose rosette disease, of thorn proliferation, reddish new growth, stunted new growth. These are the two drench treatments, and again, you can see the rose RRD symptoms showing up here as well, whereas these were the two foliar applied treatments with no symptoms of rose rosette disease at all. And actually, the foliar applied ASM treatments actually remained non-symptomatic for as long as we had the plants. Eventually, we had to make room for other plants and more experiments, but they basically remained non-symptomatic. All right, this shows trial two, which again was a similar situation, basically a repeat of the trial one. And in this case, we did find that rose rosette disease expression did occur with the foliar treatment. As you can see in the far left bar in the top is the rose rosette rating at the end of the applications. On non-treated roses did show expression of rose rosette disease. Interestingly, the low treatment of the drench did not show rose rosette disease, whereas the high treatment of the drench showed high levels of rose rosette disease. Rather unexpected, unexplainable results. Inconsistent, I guess we can say. The two foliar applied ASM treatments did show some suppression of, certainly the 50 milligrams per liter treatment showed a significant reduction in rose rosette severity. But there is, again, some question at the higher level. And the same pattern, again, held true about 6 weeks after, when we did another rating about 6 weeks later, the same patterns basically held true. So it's not exactly as clear results as we did in the first trial, but there is something. ASM is causing some benefits in some situations.
4 minutes.
Trial three, we looked at the, we dropped the drenches and just focused on the foliar applications, and we also increased our number of reps. We have N equal 8 here. And again, there is a significant difference with the higher rate of the foliar applied ASM dramatically reducing the rosette disease expression as compared to the control. And this held through several weeks afterwards as well. I'll just mention just very briefly that the third trial was really sort of a side project. At the time that we were doing this, there was some suggestion that you could prune out rose rosette disease by pruning off infected branches, and then we thought that perhaps an ASM treatment might help to prevent any reexpression of the disease in the plant. This was before Dr. Windham's data showed that you can't prune it out. But nonetheless, we tried with a similar setup as before. And in the first trial, trial four, we were shocked to see that indeed the combination of removing infected branches and applying ASM completely suppressed disease expression. However, when we repeated this twice more, the information was not consistent. We did get expression of rose rosette disease no matter what we did in terms of applying ASM treatments. But still, the take-home message that from our work so far is that ASM does not cause any significant effect to flower production or plant growth from a nursery standpoint or a landscape standpoint, that there does appear to be some effect of ASM in reducing RRD disease expression, and we are currently expanding this research and doing it in Griffin, Georgia, in cooperation with the University of Georgia, where we're looking at it under the presence of the mite and the virus in the outdoor conditions to see if there's any effect with a continuous sort of expression of infection. And again, there's a host of the NASCAR approach to funding our grant work these days. But the primary funder in this case was the Southern IPM Center. I'm grateful to them and the other people that enabled us to do our research. Any questions?
Did you expect to see symptoms after you stopped spraying?
Did we expect to see symptoms after we stopped spraying? Yes, we did. We didn't know whether it was only the continuous application of the sprays that would suppress the disease, and that if we stopped doing that, they would then, you know, revert and expose the symptoms. How expensive is it? I'm sorry, I don't know that the answer to that. I know it is labeled for a number of other crops, but I don't know the cost. Thank you.
Actigard?
Yeah, Actigard. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you very much.